Matawe put enga san a
Saran
Neuna pivot e what
where he get
get
say so let's on
spimmel upon it. And welcome to the Yana Mokuri podcast. On today's episode, we will be discussing issue number one of Tsute's Path, as well as introducing three new recurring segments to the podcast. As always, we will close out the episode with some Nafi language conversation practice. I'm Bominic, and here to help me digest the latest in the world of Avatar are my co-hosts Ayana.
Kalt'e.
Awe.
Kalt'e.
And Will.
Kalt'e.
All right. First up, we have some comic news. As mentioned in the last episode, on today's podcast, the gloves are coming off. Today's discussion will not be spoiler-free, so if you have yet to read issue number one of the Avatar comic series and don't want to be spoiled, jump ahead to the timestamp I'll be adding seamlessly in post right now.
1722.
So, we've all read issue number one. Takeaways.
So what immediately jumped out to me is how faithful they were with, like, staying close to the movie with regards to the storyline, and also even like the lines the characters speak are like literal translations of the Na'vi in the movie, which I really liked. And then you get this initial backstory, and that's like doesn't give major new insights, but I still really liked it.
Yeah, that was pretty much my take.
Yeah.
Two of my takeaways from issue number one actually somewhat contradict what you had to say there.
Okay.
Don't worry, I didn't hate it. I'm still allowed on this podcast. But so two of the things that I noticed. First of all, this actually clarified a lot of stuff that we didn't necessarily know in the first film. Something they definitely stressed a lot in this issue was that Silwanan was Tsute's original love, not Neytiri, which actually goes a long way to explaining why the two were not particularly warm towards each other in the film. Mm-hmm. And that was something that always really bothered me. Was that they were, like, supposed to be, like, this mated pair, and then Jake comes in and steals his wife, and then is like, oh, like, you, he's like, that's the time he's genuinely mad, but otherwise, Neytiri and Tsute don't seem to get along, like, in any capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, and I noticed that, too, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
To me, it wasn't, to be honest, because even in our world, we have, orchestrated marriages, mm-hmm. weddings, whatever,
right.
That are set up, and that doesn't necessarily involve any feelings of love or something. So the mated pair feeling somewhat cold to each other is possible, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, like, what struck me as odd about the pair when we only had the movie to go off of was they didn't seem like, not just that they don't particularly love each other because it was like an arranged marriage or whatever, but specifically that they like don't have anything to do with each other. They're not like really involved in each other's business. All of the scenes that they are together, Tsute is kind of rides in, scoffs at Jake, and then leaves.
Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
There was never really any connection between Neytiri and Tsute. Even to the point where during Ikinimaya, when Neytiri swoops in and helps out as like guest kariu for the day, she says "Mengati kame." She doesn't say "Kame." In all of their interactions, they just never felt particularly warm. And actually, with the context of what we revealed in the comics, where Silwanan was the one that Tsute really loved, that makes a lot more sense because now you're just dealing with her sister. Now you're sort of got number two, I guess.
Yeah, I think that does make sense, yeah. Although I have to say that Neytiri using not Kameye, but Kame inside the movie there, in that scene, always said to me that she didn't want to, like, prefer one of the guys right in front of them. So she wanted to stay as neutral as possible.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
And then the other, just I'll let other people talk, but the only other thing I wanted to sort of contest from Willem's thing is just an interesting note. They did mostly use the dialogue from the film. However, the version of the Maui Napia not Maui scene, they actually used the dialogue from the original script, not what ended up being in the film. So it leads me to believe they either had access to the original film script or it was just a coincidence.
That's a good point.
Well, to me, I think they the guys who made the comic just did their research. I think the script is available online, as far as I know. So
yes,
I think they did a good job simply on preparing for doing this comic.
Yeah, I noticed that part too, and I found that kind of interesting that there were some pieces that were part of the film, but with extra bits in there, like you said.
Specifically the line, "I will kill this one," as a message to the others.
Yeah. Or where Neytiri says, "he is my captive," because I don't believe that she says that in the movie, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that was also part of the script.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Yeah.
But I was pretty interested in the and a lot of the info that they had on Sawanan, because I think that's going to be an interesting side point that I'm hoping that they explore in the future issues even more, because I think that might be an interesting part of the story to tell.
I absolutely agree. A lot of the added scenes, or the scenes that were cut from the theatrical one, are all the ones that like mention Sawanan, the school, just anything that like tangentially touches Sawanan's story was cut. But it seems like it was a much greater part of the story that they can now explore in the comics and other media, perhaps even in the sequels.
As far as I'm aware, the special edition, the theatrical re-release, doesn't include any of the Sawanan scenes. Although I did want to point out something that I found interesting. The fact that her name is still spelled the same as it was in like the games, and I don't know, I haven't seen the subtitles for the collector's edition, so I don't know about that. But it actually doesn't follow syllable rules, which I found interesting.
You can definitely make the name follow the syllable rules if you just give a double L on Sawanan. But yeah, I know that is true. I didn't think about that.
They didn't correct the spelling or anything. So I think that's probably just for continuity's sake. But I thought it was kind of interesting.
Oh, I thought it was the English version. Like, they also spell Omatekaya with a C consistently in English material.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Although I didn't notice that in the... I didn't notice them spelling it that way in the comic, though. I was keeping an eye out for that.
I mean, the misspellings of the names, like the proper names, Omatekaya and Sawanan, bothered me a bit, but it was no news to me because we're kind of used to... I mean, our community is used to reoccurring miswritten versions of those proper names, right? So my guess is that they just didn't look that up. I'm sure they prepared very well before tackling this project, but they didn't go that far as in looking into the language too deep or very deep.
So they sort of have a hidden get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to canon spellings of the language. We've never actually seen any canon media, I feel, that has actually used not the spelling the way that we, like, know it.
That's a fair point.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that
so,
yeah.
For all we know, in-universe, the ga sound is spelled with a C, and that's just how they chose to write it.
But obviously, this comic is written in English, not in Na'vi. So I think it makes total sense to actually do it, like use the English spellings for names that have a different English spelling.
Yeah.
I mean, fans that do not know Na'vi probably would like know the name Silwyn with Y and not with I as we know it.
Yeah,
it
makes sense, of course.
So I think it actually makes sense. It might even be a conscious decision of their part.
Oh, no, that's a fair point. Although I still am not sure. I would have sworn that Omatekaya was spelled correctly in the comic, but maybe I missed one.
Oh, in the comic I haven't seen. Sorry, I meant just like in materials like subtitles and all other materials.
But,
I've seen like Omatekaya.
But I mean, even if they used the English spelling for those proper names, the main characters inside that comic are completely not me, right? Until the second Jake gets captured, English is irrelevant. So why would they...
That's true.
Like choose to you know, it's just, I don't know, I'm nitpicking here, that's all, don't mind
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Well, but by the same reason, I should read, they should write entire comic in Na'vi, so, I mean, yeah, there's a line to be drawn somewhere. And
yeah, who's doing the translation?
So I didn't find this particularly, like, it didn't even stand out to me.
I translated the preview from Sci-Fi, but I haven't translated the whole thing. I also, just to be a total nerd, just opened up my copy that I have right here on my desk. And
me too.
Omarikai is actually spelled correctly with a K.
Yeah,
awesome.
Oh, okay. My bad then.
Fraza. So the final point I wanted to touch on for Comic 1 in my notes was, I think the most substantial piece of lore that we actually got was this line from Tsute: before a hunt or a time of danger, make Sahelu with Ewa so you will be remembered if you die.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a longstanding theory that there is some sort of, like, full neural upload or otherwise, like, Ewa is a backup of the memories of everybody on Pandora. And this is actually the biggest piece of confirmation we have on that front.
Yeah, true.
And this also goes to explain how the memories of the Na'vi actually get to be part of Ewa. Previously, there was this one theory that I really liked where we saw in the one funerary sequence in the film where they were buried with an Atokirina, and that there was this theory where, like, oh yeah, that seed then, like, sprouts and grows and connects with the roots around it, and then also connects with the Na'vi brain of the, like, the dead, decaying brain or whatever, and also uploads memories or something. And it was always like, that's simultaneously believable and really far-fetched.
Yeah.
But this line from Tsute, where it's like, oh, if we're going to be doing something dangerous or in time of danger, which is just a really open-ended definition, be remembered if you die. Like, that basically just confirms everything we've thought.
But for me, it still doesn't confirm or deny the theory whether Ewa, like, save souls or not. Saving memories and fragments of what you experienced and stuff is fine, which is a theory I follow.
Mm-hmm.
But saving, like, upright souls, I still can't believe that. So I find it interesting.
I never subscribed to the souls idea.
Yeah.
I think it's... Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's entirely just memories. And the entire Pandoran ecosystem basically has the same model of neural components, memories, brain pieces, bits, or whatever, and they're all basically just compatible in that way.
Mm.
I think soul is more of just like a interpretation of the essence of somebody, and the essence of somebody is effectively their memories.
Yeah, the summary of what they've experienced, right?
Yes.
Wow, that's gotten pretty philosophical.
Today on Aonimal. Philosophy discussion. Final notes I had is, so we were given three names of the five group of hunters that followed Tsute around. We have Ka'ani, we have Saela, and we have Takuk, but there are still two of them that went unnamed, but still showed up repeatedly throughout the issue. And I'm wondering if we'll see their names in the future.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, I would say probably.
I mean, apparently they're part of Tsute's hunting party, so I don't see a reason why they shouldn't reoccur in any sort of form or situation.
Yeah. I have to say, though, for me this was, like, really difficult to see, because, like, one of the major gripe I have with the comic at the moment is that I find it really hard to, like, follow the story, because the Na'vi are hard for me to distinguish.
Yes.
So I always have to, like, look at their apparel and clothing, because, like, it's not like in most comics with normal humans, where you can immediately see who is who.
You're just racist against Na'vi, you can't tell them apart.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I had the same issue.
Yeah, same. But I know why that is, because artists in comics usually rely on using very unique characteristics, including clothing and jewelry and stuff. So it figures that you were able to distinguish Etukan from Mo'at and vice versa very easily, because they have pretty unique adornments on their bodies, right? Etukan with this big feathery thingy he's wearing, and Mo'at with her red bib necklace and stuff. So they were easy to distinguish in my books. But then even when it came to Tsutte and Neytiri, it got difficult. Not to speak of the other people from Tsutte's hunting party. There I had the biggest problems with.
Yeah, exactly.
Distinguishing them, yeah. Because they so much look alike, wearing similar clothing, having similar hairdressers, and yeah, dressings, whatever, hairdos. So I think they probably the artists struggled with that a bit, because I know how difficult it can be to like have continuity and enjoying certain characters and make them so unique that they are easily distinguishable from other characters inside your comic.
Right. I mean, whenever I've looked at not the OCs that people have made, outside of like doing something outlandish, like giving them a big battle scar or something, like it is really hard to make a differentiable Nappi without going into something like very, I guess, soft, like facial features.
Maybe one note on the panel tracing through thingy I already teased in the last episode. I did my research this time properly, and I figured that 23 panels were obviously traced through. At least it was obvious to me, so...
Just out of curiosity, do you have a total panel count as well?
Like
23
I made
out of what?
No, not a total panel count, but I made a list for each page.
Okay.
I was actually going to make a comment on the thing about recognizing the characters. As I actually didn't find that to be a problem for me for some reason. I don't know why that is. Maybe it was just... I felt like I could recognize the characters' facial features pretty well. I felt like...
The faces, they were differentiable. Like, there was definitely things. When I was looking very close, I could notice differences, but it took more than a quick glance. Like, it wasn't immediately obvious.
I have to say, I'm also really bad at recognizing people in real life, so...
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe I just have a different way of recognizing people or recognizing things. It could be that. I have no idea.
You could just be unique among us in that you're really good at noticing faces.
But yeah, me too. I mean, more than once I had to take a second glance just to tell the characters apart from each other.
All right, with the comics out of the way, our next bit of news comes from Budapest. The Discover Pandora European tour, air quotes, has begun. That actually opened today, February 2nd, the day we're recording this podcast anyway. So this tour was previously in Taiwan, and I believe it was in another part of China previously. And when I was doing my research for the segment, I had the realization that I think I have this Discover Pandora exhibit confused with something else. Didn't it stop in Seattle or like other parts of the United States?
Actually changed names. It was renamed to Discover Pandora, but before that it had a different name, and it toured the US from like 2011 to 2014, I think.
Okay, cool. That answers a lot, because I remember when I first joined the community like a couple years ago, I was like, man, I missed so many things like that happened in my backyard of Seattle at the time. I was mad at past me for not getting involved in these things, but I was like, yeah, there was the Pandora exhibit. At the same time, there was like an Avatar meet in Seattle. And I felt like I missed so much cool Avatar stuff. I missed an opportunity to see Toruk. Like, literally, we missed an opportunity to see Toruk because me and my girlfriend were feeling like we were tired in that evening. And we had plans to go drive out and go see it. We're like, but that was also before I was super invested in like the language and everything. So it was like it was less of a big deal for me to not see that.
You're not the only one that regrets missing out on those things.
So anyway, I hate when companies do this where they say they're beginning a something tour and then they announce exactly one location and exactly one date. So I don't know if it's a widespread European tour, if it's going to different countries in Germany, or if it's just this one stop in Budapest. We honestly don't know.
Countries in Germany.
Yeah.
Countries in Europe. Yeah. I do hope so. I do hope so that they come to Germany or Netherlands or something Central European. So I will definitely go there.
I was in Budapest last year, but I mean, that doesn't help anything.
I have a feeling I'll be...
Yeah, I lived in Seattle for almost 10 years, so...
I have a feeling I'll be applying to conferences over in Europe sometime in the next few months.
Yeah, are you traveling for business or for pleasure?
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess that bit of news is more like, hey, Europeans, how hard is it to go to Hungary? Because as an American, I honestly don't know.
not very hard.
Yeah.
Like, if you're okay with flying, it doesn't cost so much. Then I have no idea where Budapest actually is, so it might still be very far away.
Yeah, well, I think in Europe, it's you can generally say that it's not too hard to get from one location to another because Europe isn't as big as North America, right? So getting on a plane and flying somewhere is not as big of a deal, I think. But to be honest, it kind of is still, so I would still be thrilled if they decided to show up or place their exhibition inside a country at least neighboring mine. Oh, right. Exactly in the one I'm living in. So please come here.
I'm like enthusiastic enough about the exhibition that I would go if it would be in the Netherlands or something nearby. I will not go to Hungary for it. That's way too far.
Yeah, and too expensive still. So, you know.
Absolutely fair. I don't blame you. Well, we will try to keep posted on any new tour stops for the Discover Pandora exhibit. But for now, that's everything that we know on that subject. Moving right along, for our next segment, we turn to Chief Science Correspondent Awe for the latest happenings in space.
All right. So there were a few things that happened over the past month. Going to touch on just a few of the more interesting and cool things. First of all, we just had New Horizons, the probe that NASA sent out to look at Pluto, just passed another Kuiper Belt object called Ultima Thule. We're still waiting for the full photos to come in. We just know that it passed by. What's really interesting about this object is that it's what's called a contact binary. So it's two objects that contacted each other and are now considered one object, but still kind of look like two. The reason this is interesting is because this is thought to be the method that all planets form by. So we want to study that and see if this gives us clues on how our planet formed and how planets around us formed and all of that. On top of that, China just had their moon probe land, and it landed on the dark side of the moon, which we have never had anything land on before. So that's pretty interesting. And it turns out that the dark side of the moon, those that don't know, the dark side of the moon is the side that does not ever face Earth. What's interesting about it is it's actually very different from the side that faces Earth. And they landed it in a massive crater basin, so we might get some insight on how the inside of the planet looks.
I'm just thinking now, why is it actually called dark side of the moon? If like it's still half the time in sunlight, right?
Yeah, because we can't see it, yeah. Right?
Well, we can't see it, but that doesn't mean it's dark. Okay, anyway, carry on.
Yeah, exactly, right.
It's dark,
yeah,
we don't know it.
we're in the dark about it.
Exactly, ah. Yeah. That's the fun part about it. And the interesting thing about it is how hard it is to land something over there because it never faces Earth. We can't communicate with anything that's on that side unless we bounce it off a satellite, which is exactly what China's lander did.
Yeah, I was reading the article for prep work, and yeah, the I didn't think about that, but the fact that they were able to bounce it off a satellite to then get it to Earth, I was like, okay, that's a clever way to solve that problem. Also, it's nice that they just have satellites to bounce stuff off of just out there on the moon.
Right. Kind of connected to that, they sent up a lot of experiments, a few of which are seeds that they had planted in kind of a little greenhouse. And over the course of a week, we had one of the coolest things ever and one of the saddest things ever. A seed sprouted, and then it died 2 days later.
Oh, no. Talk about a letdown.
Yeah, so we had the first new life born on another planet or another celestial body, and the first death on another celestial body within the same...
Which plant was it? Because I saw that they sent up like cotton and a couple of other seeds. Do you know which one was the one that sprouted?
I want to say it was either the cotton or the rapeseed one, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Got it.
Why did it die, though? Do you
they
know?
Poorly, if I remember correctly, they poorly sealed the greenhouse area, and it got too cold, and it just couldn't survive.
It is pretty cold.
Yeah, especially when the sun's...
Almost as cold as it is in the Midwest.
Almost. but that's not the only cool thing that happened with the moon recently. We just had a lunar eclipse, and it's a special one because it's the first full moon of the year, a lunar eclipse during the first full moon of the year, and it's one of the points where the moon is as close, pretty darn close to its closest approach to Earth. So it's as large as it's going to be, and a full eclipse for the first full moon of the year. It was a really rare event. Turns out it was even more rare because while this eclipse was happening, we had a meteor hit the moon. So a lot of amateur astronomers got to see this once-in-a-lifetime event. And right now, from what I have heard, NASA is using our Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter to... try to scan for what may be the new crater formed by this meteor. So it's pretty fascinating because we'll get to see how these dynamics work.
I really like about this story is that, like, indeed, few random, like, amateurs, like normal citizens, whatever, saw this, and then they went to Twitter, like, hey, did you also see this? And then they started researching, and only then the professionals got involved. So this is a real nice example of citizen science.
Yeah,
And I got really excited about that to see this unfold like semi live. So I wasn't awake yet then because for me this was in the morning. So I only woke up at totality. Then it has already occurred. So I didn't see it at all.
Yeah.
And like afterwards, I saw this already happening on Twitter. So I thought it was really cool.
I don't think it was visible by the naked eye. It looked like from the images I've seen, it was literally like a pixel on a very, very blown up image of the moon through a telescope. So it's really hard to see, but like amateur astronomers.
I think someone said that it was like they were viewing with binoculars and could barely see it. So
yeah,
I couldn't have seen it.
Yeah, you'd have to have some kind of magnification to see it.
But it's exciting.
Yeah.
We can see.
First time I saw pictures of that meteor hitting the moon, I first thought that it was a meteor approaching the moon. I didn't realize in the first second that it actually hit, like already hit the moon. So that was an extra bonus. It was very interesting.
Every time I hear about the lunar eclipse, I feel like there's always one more cool piece of information that was attached to it. Like, I didn't know it was the first full moon of the year, though it was very early in January. So, I mean, like, I guess obviously. But, like, still just... all of those things aligning about it, and then also the meteor impact during the event is like, that's really cool. When it was happening, I wasn't actually super enthusiastic about it because, like, I've seen a lunar eclipse before. Moon turns red, big, like, no offense to science folks, but like, big deal. It is still, it's cool. And I like this, I like the science behind it. And it's fascinating that our planets, moon, and sun align in such a way to create such a phenomenon. But at the same time, I was just like, I've seen this before. Moon turned red, big deal. But I was up at the time anyway, so I went downstairs, looked out the window, saw the moon. I'm like, yep, it's red. And then like I went to bed, and then in the next morning, like everyone was blowing up about like all this cool stuff that happened. I'm like, ah, dang it.
Well, the last lunar eclipse visible in Europe, at least, which was in fall last year, I think. Fall, late fall, early winter, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Was pretty interesting because you were able to see Mars just by the naked eye. So that was pretty awesome as well. But not as big of a deal as a meteor striking the moon. So
yeah, there was like, what was it? what was it, the Super Blood Wolf Moon or something was what everybody was calling it. Cause...
Yeah, Super Dark Edge Blood Lord Half Wing Angel Sephiroth Moon.
Satan.
Satan 666XX.
You forgot Goth in there. I'm pretty sure that was in there somewhere.
Right.
All the cliches.
Yes, something to that effect.
Yeah.
Well, they have to say they had to save a couple of superlatives for the next time they need to get people excited about a lunar eclipse.
Coming back to that Ultima Thule thingy, it got me thinking of the meteor or comet or something the Rosetta probe was able to examine closely. Was it the same with that stellar interstellar object, like two things merging, or was it something different? Just out of curiosity.
They kind of have a couple of ideas. I think they currently are thinking that the object kind of formed in that configuration, in this like snowman-like configuration, instead of being two objects that collided and just ended up that way. But it could be that we won't really know for sure until we start getting some of the pictures back and can start analyzing some of the data to see, because we can tell if like the material in the center is very different from the material all along around the outsides. That could be a hint towards something else. There's a lot of unknowns about it. It's one of the first Kuiper Belt objects besides Pluto that we've ever been able to observe this closely. So a lot of people are waiting for this data to stare at it for a very long time to figure out what's going on.
Right. When this story first made rounds, I was actually confused as to like what's so significant about this, because I thought it was just an object fairly near Earth. It's like, oh, just some, you know, comet that was drifting by. And then they mentioned that it was like, oh, this was captured with the New Horizons probe. I'm like, I remember hearing about that recently. What was so special about that one? And then you mentioned it's like, oh yeah, there's the one that captured images of Pluto. And I was like, oh, that's why that was significant.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, comet-ass comet is now my favorite phrase of all time. yeah, that's what's so exciting about it, is it's the first Kuiper Belt object we've really looked really closely at.
Right, and those are far, and those have been a mystery for a very long time, because they are far.
Yeah, it's like the border of our solar system, isn't it?
Yep.
More or less.
Yep, there's a few interesting things about the Kuiper Belt. There's like an area where there's kind of like a drop in the density of objects farther out, and it's thought that that's about how far away other stars were in the stellar cluster that our sun formed in and all this cool stuff, but like... I could go for hours, and we only have so much time, so.
That is a fair point. This nicely segues into our next segment. We're going to have a featured member spotlight, where we're going to conduct a short interview with somebody in the community. In future episodes of the podcast, we're going to get to know people from all around the world, from every corner of the community. But for now, we're going to start right here at home with some of our fellow hosts.
Yeah, the chosen one is Awake, if you for today's episode.
At least that's what they told me, so.
Yeah, so already know you like science, but can you tell us something more about yourself, your hobbies, etc.?
Let's see. Science is my main one. It's something I've done since I was like very young. I was a Bill Nye kid. But other than that, I tend to mostly play video games and dabble in a few other things. Little bit of archery. It's something I've picked up recently.
Oh, nice.
Very Natvia inspired, that one.
I was going to say, I feel like that's a common thread among a Natvia enthusiast. Like, eventually, if you're learning Natvia, eventually you're going to want to learn how to do archery. Like, it's the Venn diagram of people interested in archery and interested in avatars. Like,
very much. I shot for score for the first time today and managed to hit an average of one arrow out of every three, so that's a good start. Other than that, a few other things I like to do is I've started picking up some Na'vi-inspired jewelry crafting from when I have time to do that. But other than that, it's pretty much just this is where I spend the majority of my free time.
La hea ceutu, Cosmon. So, speaking of Natwi, why did you actually become a member of our community?
Ooh, that's a good story. Some of it may or may not be told on our next episode. I joined the community right at the end of my spring break last year, because, as it turns out, we went to Mo'ara that spring break. And I was kind of struck by it, because I had always been struck by the movie very deeply, and now kind of getting to go somewhere that really recreates it like that struck me so deeply that I was like, I have to do something related. I can't handle just going back to everyday life right away. And so I looked it up, found this group, and immediately joined and was like, this is something I'm going to just keep doing and hopefully do for the rest of my life, to be honest.
Awesome. And you've been learning the language since you joined, right?
Pretty much. I think there was a short period where, and by short, I mean literally a few days, where I had joined and didn't say anything because I was still on vacation. But as soon as I got back, I was like in the car at a store getting stuff for the rest of the semester. And I had I was in voice chat and I had it in my ear while we were in the store. So I was pretty much...
That's some dedication.
Yep.
So what's your favorite Na'vi word?
Ooh, I have a lot. I like a lot of
one.
Them.
One allowed.
I'm partial to the words that don't have direct English translations. So one of my favorites is sosul.
Which means?
It means the smell of like wet vegetation or like a creek that's nearby a small... small flow of water, or like,
right, I didn't remember that was some kind of smell, but I didn't know which smell.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, specifically because it's a concept that's hard to express in English. There's no direct word for it.
And so you are also involved in teaching, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much. I founded and continue to run the Na'vi Classes Initiative, or NCI as I call it. May change the name at some point to make it easier to say in Na'vi, but we'll see how that goes. And it's something that I really enjoy doing.
How many students do you have currently?
Currently we have around 10, if I remember. Yeah, just around 10. Maybe a little bit less, but there's quite a few of them that are pretty active, which is really nice.
Yeah, and this is the second, I guess, season of NCI, if you will, because I remember there was another set. This is the second time you've run this set of courses.
Yeah, this is the second iteration of it, and I've been making changes as we go along, trying to figure out how best to get this thing to run. And as a result, I think this one's going to be a lot smoother than the last session was. Last session was kind of rough, but this one I think is going to be better.
Absolutely.
So in case anyone hearing this now is interested in joining NCI, how would they go about it? What would you recommend?
I recommend they first hang out on the Discord, because when I start a new session, I announce it in the news section and set up a sign-up sheet. You can also just feel free to message me on the Discord, and I'll keep your name in mind for when the next session starts up. I tend to run, so far I've been tending to run about a session a semester, so like three or four months between sessions, typically. So that's kind of the time frame to expect.
Fair enough, I think. That's pretty decent.
Join the Discord is the TLDR of this podcast.
Exactly.
also, get involved.
Also, by the way, if you're interested in being interviewed as a featured member, join the Discord or just click on the link in the description of this podcast for a sign-up form. That was some nice segueing, wasn't it?
And yes, and if you're on Spotify, we're very sorry. I don't think we have descriptions that we can put links in.
If you're on Spotify, oh. Go to the YouTube. No.
Yeah, YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, that was too improvised. Let's try that again.
No, that I think that works just fine.
Okay. So, is there anything special besides NCI or something you're involved in yourself that is a favorite thing of yours considering regarding the Lenape community?
Ooh, boy. There's a lot. I have a lot of like side projects in my head that I want to work on that I, from time to time, don't quite get fully done. One that I've been working on is a guide to the different affixes in the language, so the different infixes, suffixes, and prefixes, and how which ones can be used freely and how they change the meaning of the word and things like that.
Pretty handy.
That's probably the thing I've worked the most on. I'm working on putting the class material for NCI up online. Few other things. One side project I once started working on, but haven't had much time to work on since. I've wanted to take the dictionary and write it as though you were writing a dictionary for a native speaker of the language, so trying to explain the different concepts in the language itself, which is really helpful for me to continue learning and kind of pick up words that I wasn't familiar with, but also it's something that I think could be kind of fun for some of the more advanced members of the community to take a look at.
So a Na'vi dictionary for Na'vi speakers.
Pretty much.
Excellent.
Yeah, I really like that idea.
Okay, is there any way that Avatar has changed your life or affected you personally?
It's another thing you might hear a little bit about in the next episode. But yeah, there's actually quite a few ways that it affected me pretty well, and mostly in good ways. Sometimes there were a couple of things that were kind of iffy, but for the most part, it's changed my life for the better. For one thing, that's probably one of the most emotionally charged movies I've ever watched, and it kind of hit home in ways that I can't fully explain.
I don't think you need to, because I think the majority of our community can relate.
Yeah. I think we're going to learn more about that. I'm going to keep plugging the next episode. But
by the way, next time on
Anthology. Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
I think the way that it changed my life the most is it introduced me to a lot of things that are not fully logical or scientific that can still make a lot of sense. And well, of course, the biggest way is it introduced me to the language in this community and to pretty much the best friends I've ever made. So that's a huge, huge change.
So if you could ask Fromer or Cameron a movie or language related question and you get one question, what would it be?
Ooh, man. You picked the one I didn't fully prepare for. No. I stared at that one for like a solid 30 minutes and was like, yeah, that's a single question is going to be a lot harder. I hate to say it, but most likely I would probably ask Cameron a question. And at the very least, it would be something. Here's a good one. I would ask him to explain to me in detail what the daily life of a regular Na'vi clan member would be like.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be a good question because there is a lot of holes in our understanding of the culture as it relates to mundane things.
Yeah, and that that's something I would really love to know more about.
I think
the life of a Na'vi.
Yeah.
I feel like a large percentage of our cultural understanding is tied to big momentous occasions like Ikimaya or very special ceremonies.
Yeah.
But not so much what the, you know, the day to day that happens between those things.
And we have like some daily life stuff, like some of the things that they eat off of and things like that, but nothing like, and okay, from, how do you go from morning to night?
Also, of course.
Alright, that's true too. We'll get some information from that. But I would love just like a rundown of like morning to night, how would a regular day go.
So that's smart. You just picked the question for Cameron. You were only allowed to ask one question. You picked one that takes like a half an hour to answer. So.
Clever.
It's a sneaky multi-question question.
So how do I extract the most information?
right. You have to like genie three wish this, where it's just like, how can I exploit the fact that I have something limited?
Okay, so I think this is the end of the interview section. Arwe, do you have some last words for us?
Preferably in Na'vi.
Of course.
Next time on Ayana Mokri. No. all I would really have to say is Iraio Mafrapo.
Keatikin.
Melte.
So the final segment, as always, is going to be some Na'vi language practice. But one of our prompts for this episode is going to be the Na'vi word of the cast. Relating back to the comics, we've chosen the word san'ul, which is an intransitive verb to improve or get better. One of the repeating themes of the issue number one of Tsute's Path was that Tsute is always striving in himself and the hunters he looks after to always be improving, always be doing better than you were doing before. With that in mind, we're going to move on to the Na'vi practice, which is going to begin with the question, as for what things are you improving in recently? We're going to proceed from now on in Na'vi language. However, note that we are going to make mistakes occasionally. We are all learners. However, we are all san eruul, improving.
I see.
Every time we practice. Ha sniva iko.
San.
Peuri anga san eruul.
Se weri a tsanerul oe kolan a retseo ri oe tsanerul fratr pasi
ngasika te paum weru a pepia pefiari nga tsanerul.
Rut eleven.
Teori. Befia nga tsaneru.
Oi wen. Reti. Reti.
Wen tan.
Nemun.
Fracker.
Kesempelt. Old neo ue san ivoru. San ivu. Fa-fua zeko keiti.
Ah, sola. Lam ngezek weru. Tsun nivu tranten srivanten? Tsun srivanten? Nuot.
Sarane.
Na put e nga te smivon tuteo me comics. Wedi tuus te emri oe tsaneru o nifkar.
Kosman.
Sran. Asula mauti aean alu kiwi mipa siei weie. the for your own Tzafne Malti, I guess with the Pontok.
Zivenoe, Sakem Sivine Teng.
Soon weru Tzamauti in Nitan.
Srene, Ningai for your own Tzafne Malti, Stue Lu. Ke your own well Tzafne Malti, Taluna. Spill spamil wealth da tsakem ngazaknit an sra wa heral tsafne mapi ningai lu tue
tsafne mauti ti fko kesen fkifahut kefia
kesen bo
fkahut.
Ah,
Luna of course on Yvonne. Strane, get look at what second scene.
Strane, Kazani Ivaku, Tatling.
Strane,
Tatling, Tatling, Malti. Fatstal soon, Mutni, soon for Mivuni, Howl, Mit.
Mal.
Sucker fa spoon. fa spoon zun Yvon.
Settle alu spoon.
Fracker kra tutel de ut le inglese et sucker o en lurtopsi.
We're talking anyway.
Fracker.
It's a spillway of the Onga Litfiari Lenapi Onga San Erul Kifiak.
Srane.
Srane. Well, I lit wood stereo.
Le kongeri, a le o le na vi, ne o san i vui. Daluna pim, nat kenong, pult e o e san multe, sik, multe se, kesem pult e sen efko pifult e san multe, sik. Te, salut ting e sik weru, ne o e san i vui.
Ngazak weru ni teng. Lick on ke no lume lick on with the ke no lume well gara smola iwe
smon wert at the fu fit sengel a fkosa o mem reis ke kartsa
psrane
saluting yaze
kelo wero fia o tsun ftivia le on
Sgmolet i niftue
kola no
Sgmolet i nifo o webtsengi fte nivume sle hase kalu
sle a welta
zeno wa hase sivi
le sars netan le ju
melte
ute nalor le ju. The thing.
Root anything?
Web saying, yeah, oh, now Lord, there you.
If Polinwell footing up old S and Nalulor, see. Get slow lang.
Heck? Heck? Neat.
Heck, neat. Am. Heck,
my Willem, Alu Lora, tute.
Tutan.
Get Gehebbel er Zafia Rute.
Mat awe peuri nga zaneru nifkar.
Furia serar It's called Oe Tanerol Nifkar.
Ne Oe Tsakem Sivineteng.
Oe Neteng.
Tsakem Soli Oe Aulie. Lonu will squeeze out the Ute Tsaf squeeze out the Tsas without Taku. Shed. Ningai ke weru tsufa kosuizabi.
Hazenengats ekeng CV.
Ketsuno e tsakem CV kara Sasem we alim.
Pelun?
Kekaku seri we mifitsenga. Mifitsenga sim sasem we. Ute, kara we skos wizari skeking soli. Hu sasem we. Lolue.
Damn.
Kelu waru utsuko, fu suizao.
Ngatsun kivanum?
Ketsun oi kivanum kau. Keu. Taluna, kelu waru ai tolai.
Tse. Srake ai sute o kolanum ei ufani?
Srane. Rut Emma frapo. Kivanom uvani tue.
Nimun.
Frakinter.
Te tsun kivanom wel skoti spisa. Te ivaku te ivaku ai sutet a teran ro kelkuwe. Ro helkuwe.
Tam. Rut kanom ayufanit sakr. So kanu kuke.
Ke. Nengai na alve zane oi kivanom siuve.
Saufkan fe. Nga emre srak.
Srane, emre.
Tam.
Kelu waru tingase.
Ke asufa kel.
Kelu waru ane tingase. Moe tsun ivo.
Tsao tsranten, ne wot.
Le upamri inglesie ne woe tsan ivo. Taluna.
One thing.
Smonware. Aya leku le inglese sle kro kro ai sutel ket slamweti taluna o ek ketelt en jaur.
Zate efus manuer, smengo nuer.
Ningai tsun kos li vam ai le umie. Kaukar ke tso lamwel na.
Tam ke tam. Fkotsun si veri liftue futa kaluoe tute aza uftu USA ftu atk ele englise
mute ngai ro a waru hua frasutea polt e uehu ta Europa sun pivot any English se natsan ningai.
Ningai sara?
Sara ne, frakar pot e tsafne tute san hit oa ketsun oe pivot any English se natsan sla tsaf saifo sun pivot any English se natsan ningai. Foto C'était USA, mais USA TikTok pivot et non san.
Qu'est-ce qu'on se pivot?
One thing.
Lungai.
Lungai. Lungai ne vot.
It's tunui.
Ha frauzo. Sla e trepas jai vi sauri.
I raio.
Pivot en oe ne eo jo.
Lu ipu fua gra kef biloe uod sun pivot en et san. Fia kolan fnel fia je ke kitzranten. Zauteri. Sle gra sne if bivil. Tänker pivot e oe nui.
Srane, srane. Smål med att det är fu.
Mm. Ha, sari, ne tengo e zenet san ibu. Ha, tafral, ftang, ftang pivil, ma eana.
Rut e, ma eltu. Filre e.
Zack kämmer di oe ne rume ne teng, ningai. Ke hamal uel ail u sre kerro e pivot e lute pot eo e net an san a se lute sret bae sut e sa
ke sret uet.
Srat weti ni wot. Kara oi editsi.
Editsi,
srane.
No lume. No lue.
Luanga e lu.
Fia.
Zeko, srak.
Pifank ohu kari upal. Spawful futa tsali u lu liwa ngai. Puma ngai.
Leikaten, srak?
Latem... Lam weru... Sale u sam ulam wuru fwa sale u keteng u
balloon kut awakening ni napi
sap e ngasek u
si fa kom
sesia. Litwalu latem litwal alu latem slivatsu ayut alu zisker aisisker fu
zisker sa
aisita latem. Zisker latem.
Se sle tsunfko lekivatem uot kefiak.
Strane, lekatem. Tzale u tsun tifam.
Lekatem fu lekatem.
Keumum, bimilt eoe san keumumwel. Le ou komit.
Et lan ma we, ma willem.
Latem.
Emye ti wel tauk.
Kut aliveng?
Ah, lu latem.
Lu latem? Tam.
Latem. Srane.
Legatem.
Srane.
Latem. Latem.
Loluweru te iaur.
Snumre esi, frapo te kesi, fitzenge, ulte, frauso.
Ulte zan erul.
Ulte zan erul, zane. Salut, ele, fitre.
Spawel, futa, fit alo, hamalo to, sano lul, aiwe, amna? Pesuru pivot ewe.
Ke ke san ulul oe te efumi we. Slenga san ulul. Nenga.
Gesempelte. Gesempelte. Frapo san ulul mungurnga. Gesempelte. Ne auge ja eltu zack. Pilte zat.
Zunslu?
Zaulen warunitang. Fakr spel futa go futa oe ke tsanul sle sakr awa alo o walsteri futa ningai oe tsan olul nitan
frapo tsanul
srane frapo nume frapo tsanul Frapo tkekengsi, frapo tikesi, frapo lu sautute kefiak.
Aina fi tikesi niteng.
Ningai srak?
Spelo watsafia.
Tahon
pongu tsuteye, no luini it kefiak.
Pefiak?
Hahau, flolam srak. Mesute daron bongue zute ye holahau kefiak ute lamu la hurra me rela puseng alu zute ye fiao
solam se Suteya fiao.
Malapo? Stolamsrak.
Spermelwe. Teri aile ura pot enga ningai. Hitwa.
Ketsulun, stivaunga tine tam taluna tiskorte ke zolo.
Kato. Zimene. Zimene podcasti hasesi vi srak?
Srane.
Zion.
Srane. Fitte penk oz unti vam.
Nun jim ne haun.
Ne i.
Tam.
Hasesi srak?
Haseinu.
Srane.
Tam.
Kene wo esi vum.
All right. With that, we're going to end the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Next week, I have a very important topic lined up, as was teased multiple times this episode. Be sure to not miss it, I guess. So I was going to say, be sure to miss it. No, be sure to not miss it. Be sure to not miss it by subscribing on the YouTube, the Spotify podcast, or however other ways we end up distributing this episode. Thank you for joining us. Hi, Alovai.
Irayo, Ulta. Hi, Alovai.
Hi, Alovai.
Potenga, Irayo. Hi, Alovai.
Smok
oil.